PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Range Days with THP TV. My name is Dan Edwards, and with me is James Miles, staff writer extraordinaire and all-around brilliant club guy. James, welcome back to another great episode.
I am excited to be here. I'm ready to get going. I think we've got some fun things in store this year.
Today, we are talking about Cleveland UHX, an incredible iron set from, obviously, Cleveland Golf. Might be sneaking a little bit under the radar, even though I know THPers are hugely excited about this product. James, do you have experience with them outside of what you saw from me? And how hard is it not to keep a club like this in the bag?
I actually, I hit them there whenever we were at Club Champion and we were working on range days. You had told me about them four or five times. And I just kind of played them off until I hit them. And I believe my reaction was something we can't repeat. But the big question is, once you hit something like this and you see the data and you see the numbers and you see the performance, how do you keep something like this out of the bag? And honestly, how are they going so under the radar?
So range days is about one guy taking five swings. And we're not talking about the five swings he likes, James. We're talking about warm up a little bit, five swings all in a row. You get what you get, and the data tells the story. But before we really get into it, I do want to give a shout out to Club Champion, headquartered up in Chicago, Illinois. They let us come up, kind of take over the place, an incredible facility if you're looking for an outstanding fitting process. Some great minds will take care of you nationwide, effectively. Take a look for yourself, experience it, and enjoy it. In the meantime, James, let's talk a little bit about Cleveland UHX and what makes them unique. And I'll start with a hollow and cavity back construction. What are they talking about?
All right. So we've heard of hollow body irons for a while now, and we're finally starting to see a blended set of them all. Here, when they're talking about hollow and cavity back construction in the longer irons, they're hollow body. So the CG is going to be lower and deeper, meaning higher launch, easier to hit. And then when you get into the scoring irons, they're going to be more cavity back profile. So the CG comes up a little more, you get more precision.
So what I really like about the long irons of this set, and I'm by like, I think that's pretty unfair. I am kind of obsessed with what these long irons can do. There's something about the way that the ball just jumps off the face. And I'm sure it has to do with the second point that we're seeing here, this variable high strength steel face and how it supports the ball just, I don't have a word for it, bombing off the head.
Well, when I hit them, that was my first reaction too. I had a preconception of what I was going to get feedback wise. And there's something to the HT1770 face insert that they're using. They talk about it being pure speed, and it's pure speed.
So it is compelling. And from a sound standpoint, it's something we'll talk about a little bit later, definitely after they see the video, because I know you commented on it. But one of my favorite things, and this is a carryover from sets we've seen in the past, is the V-shaped sole. It's something I buy into pretty heavily. James, what can golfers expect when they use a club that has a V-shaped sole?
Well, if you've known me for any period of time, I wish every single iron set on planet Earth had a V-sole. So basically, you're getting a dual bounce set of system on it. So it's going to lend itself through all kinds of different turf conditions, which you and I play in pretty different areas, and we both see the benefit from it. For me, in the summertime, it dries out, but I can still play the V-sole. If it's more wet conditions, you still get the added bounce with what you're getting in that separation. It's magic. I like to call it magic.
It's one of those simplified ideas that have performed very well over the years. We've seen variances of it, different ways to interact with the ground, but V-sole, from my perspective, is just one of those things that flat out works without any crazy tech involved. But speaking of tech, there is one thing that Cleveland Srixon's pretty well known for, and that's their Tour Zip grooves, as you smile because you want to talk about them.
This is my opportunity to say lasers. So, the Tour Zip grooves, renowned for the Cleveland wedges, and I would say a separator in the wedge market for them. So seeing them come into an iron set like this, using the lasers to mill the grooves, based on the numbers we saw, they do a little more than what I think people are going to expect hollow body irons to do. And I think a lot of that comes back to the zip grooves.
Outstanding unit that tells a pretty big story. We'll get into those images later, but James, give me first thoughts. You have five swings that I took in a row. Once again, in a row. I didn't get to pick these. You kind of giggled at a couple of them. I giggle at most of them. What can you tell me from a visual standpoint, just looking at the down the range? And this is highlighted as my best shot.
Well, one of the biggest things, well, the funny thing is about your best shot is they kind of came in the sequence of everything. For me, sitting where I was and seeing everything go down, the consistency stands out. And yeah, you've got some left and right, but we got to remember, we also didn't bend any of these irons as far as loft and lie go. So we're talking about the 26 degree six iron that you were hitting. Really good peak heights for you, which you hit everything high, but it was right in that wheelhouse. It wasn't, my point with that though, is it wasn't higher than normal, which is kind of what I expected, honestly. Also the spin numbers stayed relatively down for a six iron.
That is the fascinating element that I did see. And it's certainly attributed to some of the distance numbers that I won't put any additional words onto. Let's do what was last year, as Range Days is in its second year of existence. Last year, James, JB was with me, and his favorite time was to look at the two worst shots I hit. You better not be as mean this year, but we are going to go take a look at our very first bad shot of the five.
Yes. Shot now, number one, right out of the gates.
Right out of the gates. We're hanging out hard on the toe. And when I say hard on the toe, everyone, it's not a perfect visual of what the iron actually looks like, but there is information. 13 millimeters towards the toe, 3 millimeters low. It's not a significant distance from the center of the face, but it also tells a story, especially when you get to things like ball speed and efficiency. What do you see here, James?
Well, and that's part of the beauty of the GC quad with the information that we're getting. Like you said, 13 millimeters towards the toe. If anybody knows anything about gear effect, usually when you strike the ball more on the toe, you're going to see for a right-handed golfer a more right to left ball flight. As you see here, the ball stayed straight. Not only did it stay straight, you still ended up with a good dynamic loft on it, a really good launch angle, hovering right in at what came into about our average spin overall. And yeah, the efficiency was still 1.37 for a miss. It shows a lot of forgiveness.
So traditionally speaking, James, and I'm talking more into drivers, fairway woods, and hybrids, when you start to slide towards the toe, and maybe more so high than low, you start to experience some really, really troubling spin drops.
Yep.
I don't think we saw that from UHX. I think there was a decent level of consistency across the face. As you can see, there are five locations where I did hit the ball.
I can't wait to talk about those five locations.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we jump into the second bad shot?
Yes.
And I'm assuming before we even get there, it's the one on the heel, and we had to work pretty hard to get there. So why don't you tell everyone what happened in this case?
Well, I think they've watched the video. So, as everything's going on with me, I was manning the launch monitor and trying to make sure we were capturing the data that we needed to give you all the information we want to give you in Range Days. And we had to work kind of hard to get one on the heel. The first one on the heel ended up being dead center and murdered. But then we finally got there. And not only did we get there, I like this one because it's the exact opposite of what you just saw with the toe strike. We're 13 millimeters now inside of the heel. If you know anything about irons, obviously it gets smaller inside the heel. So even with all the forgiveness built in, you are going to start to see some gear effect. So we did see that fade ball flight now. But overall, the ball still stayed in play and the efficiency still stayed at 1.34, which blew my mind and still blows my mind.
A very minute drop, as you can see, went from 1.37 to 1.34. As you mentioned, it was originally 13 millimeters on the toe in our last image. Now we're 13 millimeters on the heel. The only difference here was it was actually 3 millimeters lower on the head. And as far as I'm concerned, 3 millimeters lower is inevitably going to add a little bit of spin. And for the maybe 200 RPMs of difference we're seeing, I think that is... something that should be considered. We're talking about a long iron, a six iron. People are going to miss the center of the face. I missed the center of the face, but it wasn't as punishing as I thought it would be at all.
No, and people don't admit they missed the center of the face. But we, most of us do live on these areas, and for it to drop as much as it did, which again, 3 millimeters doesn't seem like much. And when you look at the picture, it kind of doesn't do it justice, but 3 millimeters is pretty hefty on a strike. For it not to have what we usually see, 500 RPMs, kind of bottom line, for us to only see a couple hundred RPM jump, it shows a lot about this hollow body design and exactly what Cleveland's done with it.
And I love that. And I think the story's great and should be told to those who are looking for that extra forgiveness on a club that can still perform when you really strike it well. I know we're a long way away from some of these irons that had flyers every, three or four shots you hit with them. Everyone knows the ones we're talking about. What is interesting to me is how consistent the efficiencies are, but I think it's important to see the ones that hit the middle of the head too. And I want to say that every once in a while, I found a set that really just gelled with my swing. The weighting worked. I had a hard time working away from the center. And I think it's a part of the fitting process as well. We see golfers go in there and they want to love a set of clubs, but it just doesn't feel right to them. And that is something you need to consider for yourself as opposed to what other people tell you. But man, this is just one of those sets just fit like a glove. So James, let's move into one of my best shots, which would be number three at 1.41 efficiency. So we are looking at a bit of an advantage here. We did still end up a little bit towards the toe, but ball speed's outstanding, efficiency is outstanding, spin is really close to what we saw in the first miss. I mean, does this make sense that there's no big variance here?
It goes to show what the profile does. And when we're talking about the six iron and the beauty of this set, it worked out perfect. The six iron's a hollow body in the set, in the UHX. So we really got to work with not only the sound and the feel and all that of it, but what is going to happen with all this mass that's been moved, because it doesn't look like, and we'll get into that here in a minute, it doesn't look like that much mass has been moved. But I like that we still missed a little bit on the toe side. And again, you're seeing a dead straight golf ball. You're seeing really good spin numbers. The launch angles on all of our shots have been pretty much spot on with each other, no matter where on the face you're catching it. And that's consistency on top of consistency.
So we'll get into the lofts a little bit later, and definitely from a distance perspective as well, because obviously these irons are going to perform from a distance perspective. The only other thing I really wanted to say before we move into my second good shot is that, I see a little bit of an out to in path. I'm measuring it up with the face closed as I drive in. So we are seeing a little bit of a fade. It's by design, but it's consistency for me overall. It's looking at the variances, and we saw them early on. I did pull one or two. I think all of us out there are going to see a two-way miss. It's just a reality. It's how it performs within variance when you're hitting around the face. And we're seeing that in spades here between two. I mean, obviously the efficiency is going to be better in the middle, but when your spin's the same, when your ball speed is within a couple miles an hour of each other, I mean, that's the kind of miss you want with a six iron, right?
That's absolutely. That's the playable miss. And it's not going to feel like a miss on a golf course for most golfers. It's interesting for me because I know what irons you play the best. So in here, my first thought as we came into range days this year and I was getting to partake was I'm going to mess with Dan's head. But instead we ended up with this. And as soon as we get into it, it's like, okay, well, that's not what I expected. Mm-hmm. I've said consistency about 12,000 times right now, but it's true. To see what you're seeing out of the misses and even with the pull and the push, you're still well in play. Like you're not getting anything that leaves you in danger. And that's the big story.
So here, I'm going to let you lead me into the final good shot. This is number two. Once again, almost dead nuts in the center, maybe a tiny bit low, which would attribute some of the spin. What are you seeing here that really stands out to you?
Obviously the first thing for me was we were trying to hit a miss and instead we get smush. That's my technical term, a smush. No, this one was hit hard and this one was hit dead in the middle. and it was the same swing on all the other ones. Is the best part about it. We're not seeing any drastic change in Dan trying to do this. It just shows like you're going to get your ball flight still. It's not going to overtake your natural ball flight. It's not going to alter the way you play your game, but you're still going to get a launch angle and, in this case, a spin ratio that's going to give you the most out of a six iron, which, let's be real, for most people, a six iron's not the easiest club to hit. I mean, we're encroaching on realms where a lot of guys are moving to hybrids, but to see this hollow body design do what it's intended to do is pretty special.
I do like that we saw consistency from an efficiency standpoint, from a ball speed standpoint in the middle of the head. I think that's a big story to tell too. You don't want big variances when you hit it the same way every time. What I think is a better story here is to take a look at all the data put together, James, and see what we're really working with from a larger overview. I mean, we have the carry numbers are out there for everyone to see. Obviously they're not small. I really think backspin helped me a lot with that. But I think there's also a really big story to tell here, because when people look at the specs for UHX, they say, man, those are some jack lofts. I'm never going to be able to elevate these things. But if you look at my numbers, I'm at almost 19 degrees of launch, which is not low at all. And I'm descending at almost 50 degrees, which, as far as I'm concerned, that's when I start to talk about pancakes as the ball lands. What do you see here, James?
The big one for me that I always zoom in on a set like this is the peak height, because we know the spin's going to be a little bit lower. For you, as somebody who usually spins the irons a little bit more, the numbers are really good. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing, like you mentioned, with the descent angle, every single one of those is playable. Even the heel strike, which was the worst one of them all, the lowest efficiency of them all, that spun the most of them all, that thing is going to sit down. Every one of them is going to sit down. And that's one of the big stories about jacked lofts, right? When you're talking about a 26 degree six iron, that is, let's call it a player's distance caliber club. I mean, they're a little bit bigger than a player's distance, the iron, but it fits in that realm. And what people don't realize, they're still stuck in the low spin won't hold a green. And that's not the case. There's so much more to the picture of it. And this set, all five of them in a row, it shows that, though. It shows the whole picture.
Yeah, I think you're right when it comes to that. Obviously, spins lower than I was expecting, but when you have the launch you're looking for, it allows a flaw, which I would argue spin could be one of my flaws, James, is it allows that to be less of a factor when I go out there and just want to hit a good, strong six iron. And as you can see, I want to touch on something else a little bit before we move into the set build itself. What I notice here is the offline in a yardage standpoint. We have some pretty consistent numbers, but we also know that when I was trying to mess with it, I was trying to hit that one shot, and instead of getting that move, I hit it where I didn't intend to, which was the middle of the head, but it did allow me to work the ball a bit. So for those golfers, especially at the top of their bag, even with a set of clubs like this that have a lot of performance around the head and a nice big sole to work with the ground, you can still work the ball. Don't be afraid of getting into a set where you can actually work the ball. Is that what your experience there as well, James?
Well, I think it's one of the big stories, right? That's one of the first things we hear about any set like this. Well, I can't work the ball. Yeah, you can. Now, if you're coming from muscle backs to these, are you going to be able to work the ball as much? Of course not. But you still can turn it over. I mean, the fact that you hit the ball the way you did on that fourth shot when we were trying to miss and it turned over, was no happenstance. It was no luck. It was no fluke. It was the strike and the swing that was put on the ball, and you got the result according to what swing was put on the ball. And that's what you want to see in a set of irons.
So I also think that going back to an overview of the 8-iron and the 6-iron, I think Cleveland kind of addressed this with the way they've built them. And I know a lot of guys are out there today thinking, I need to blend a set. I absolutely have to blend my set. It doesn't matter what results I get. There's some sort of blend that has to go in my set. But I feel like they're doing that for people now. You know, you're not hollow body in every club in the set. When you get closer to the wedge, you get a club where you might be able to move the ball around a little bit more. It might promote a little bit of something different. Now, I don't have a ton of information with how the set works, and I would love to hear the thoughts from our viewers, our listeners, and our folks on the THP forum who are engaged in the community and discussing it. What does that wedge do? I'm very curious about that. But from a visual standpoint, James, I think they're answering a lot of the concern.
I think they're not getting the credit that they should get for the way the set has been blended. We've seen the attempt at multi-material hollow flowing into cavity back irons before, and some have done it really well. Some have done it not so well. We've seen, and I think a lot of the, when you say hollow body, I think a lot of the fear, not the best term, but I think a lot of the apprehension for people moving to a hollow body set is they think the whole set is designed that way. And it's not. When you look into the scoring irons here and what's been done with the center of gravity to help counteract that low spin of the long irons and blend into a set, you're still getting the playability that a lot of guys think they need by making a blended set or forcing a blended set.
Yeah, it's a great story to tell, but it's not the only one. The other crazy thing about this, James, is these are so affordable from what they're putting out there. The price is outstanding. But the one thing we haven't really touched on yet, and it surprised you for those who were able to watch the video, sound.
Oh, it's unlike anything most of you who have not hit these are sitting there and expecting. Like, I can count on one hand the amount of companies who have gotten the hollow body sound right. Some of the most popular ones, you and I both played one particular set of them at one point. The reason we drove away was they just sounded and felt so harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment after I hit these was the same one I had when you hit them on the video, and you hear the feedback is like that was not what I expected. And that's why I wanted to jump in and hit them. And it to test a middle iron that is the hollow tech, that is where you usually get some of that variance and feel, and to not get it. I mean, they feel like a really well built iron with a dampened impact. You could still tell where you hit the ball. It's not clacky. It's not harsh. It needs to be screamed from the mountaintops because they got this right.
So we have, just to wrap things up here, James, we have an affordable set of irons that exceed expectations, not just from us, but from THPers who have hit them in the past. They perform beautifully as far as I'm concerned. And I think people should go out and hit them. And if they do, I would love it if you joined us in conversation. Again, the THP forums, the THP community is large and growing every day in conversation. We have great debates and discussions over there about irons like Cleveland UHX. So please take an opportunity to go and join us there. If you're more of a fan of YouTube, feel free to like the video if you enjoyed the content here. Subscribe to us because we will have a lot more videos like this and others that focus on equipment, the industry, and so on. And give us a comment. Have you hit Cleveland Launcher UHX before? Did they surprise you the way they surprised us, or did they provide you with some sort of different feedback than you had previously? Outside of that, James, this was a really, really fun video to do. I know we're both excited about this product. Any more information you want to provide or thoughts you want to give on UHX before we wrap it up?
I think everybody, if you're looking for a set of irons, you need to hit them just to hit them and see what the numbers and what the data and what everything points to you. You're talking about $1,028 for a set of irons that are hollow body that have just as much tech as any other hollow body set out there. They deserve a look. They just do.
And I believe that is a wrap on another episode of Range Days. See you soon.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.